I'm Jeff Pullen, and you are listening to the 5K Every Day in the Month of May 2020 podcast, and this has been an absolute blast. I hope that you guys had such a great month of May. I know that I loved every moment of it. Watching people set goals and then go out and reach them goals has been amazing. Congratulations to everyone who was a part of the 5K Mayhem event. Wow, you guys were awesome. I hope that you are so proud of yourself, what you were able to accomplish on that day. You set big goals, and so many of you reached and exceeded those big goals. Well done. Don't forget that your final check-in is on June 1st. So you're going to want to go to www.jeffpullenmusic.com and find the final check-in blog post. Make sure you take your time to fill that out carefully if you're going to receive your epic prize. Also, people have been wondering about when the shirts will be in, and the plan for the shirts is for them to be available on August 8th at the Jeff Pullen Music Ministry 5K and Music Fest in Apple Creek, Ohio. So you can pick up your shirt for the first time on August 8th. After that, they will be at Vertical Runner of Worcester, Ohio for a couple of weeks. If they are not claimed within a couple of weeks, they will be shipped out. If you're in the state of Ohio, you can pick them up at Vertical Runner of Worcester. If you are out of state, they will be shipped to you promptly. Also, you can feel free to keep in contact on the Facebook page and share any of your new goals and successes. And if you're planning on running the 5K every day in the month of May 2021, well, so are we. So hopefully we will see you then. To start off today's podcast, how about a song from Poland Band? This is a song that was requested earlier in the month, and it seems like a great song for today. It's called We Live for the Glory of God from There Is Nothing New Under the Sun, Volume 1.
God.
Amen. We live for the glory of God. Yesterday, we started in the Acts of the Apostles, and we're going to continue that and finish our daily Bible reading today with Acts 4. But before we get there, here is Acts chapter 2.
Chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans, and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there, amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life. For death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, 'I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence.'" Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand, until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
I can't hardly read this chapter, and especially the beginning part of it about the coming of the Holy Spirit, without thinking of this song that I wrote several years ago with a couple of other guys. The song is called Fire Fall Down, and I'm going to break format here just a little bit because I want to share this song with you, and then I've got a couple of things I'd like to share about this chapter as well.
Let your fire fall down as your people cry out. Holy Spirit, come and renovate our lives. We are waiting for you, for your light to shine through, pierce the darkness with your fire from the skies. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. We've assembled here to praise, and in our brokenness we wait, and we won't turn back. Have led us here, so there is nothing left to fear, and we won't turn back. No, we won't turn back. Oh, let your fire fall down.
Let your fire fall. You know, it is amazing what can happen when a group of people rally around a common goal. Acts 2, 42 through 47 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You know, in some way, I believe that this is the type of thing that was happening actually again here in 5K May. There were a lot of runners and walkers who said they would not have completed this challenge if not for the encouragement and accountability of others. I'm so glad that they did complete the challenge. I'm so glad that we had a community of runners and walkers who were supporting each other and rooting for each other every step of the way. How powerful is that? So thank you for being a part of the challenge. I hope it was as enjoyable for you as it was for me. I hope you grew physically throughout this challenge, and I hope you grew spiritually as well. As I think about this passage in Acts 2, I'm reminded of how they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is exactly what we have been doing for the past 31 days by reading at least 3 chapters every day. I have loved that part of the challenge, and I hope you were able to take advantage of the podcast or spend time in the Word of God on your own each day. Another 5K every day in the month of May is over and done and in the books, but you don't have to be done. You can keep going, and you should keep going. As for me and my house, we will keep going. You can keep running or walking, even if it is not every day. There is no sense in losing this physical strength that you have gained throughout this month. You can also keep reading the Bible. Imagine how powerfully God could continue to work in your life as you continue to read at least 3 chapters of Scripture each day. I may not be reading it to you through the podcast every day, and I may not be offering my commentary, but you don't need me to do that. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and in you today. If you have put your faith in Christ's saving work on the cross, the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom as you continue to seek after Him through faithfully reading the Word of God each day. I am trusting that He will do that for me, and I'm confident that He will do it for you as well.
Chapter 3. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you.' Then Moses said, 'Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people.' Starting with Samuel,
every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on the earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you people of Israel, to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways.
It is amazing to see the transformation in the life of Peter. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter said that he would follow Jesus even if it meant he would follow Jesus to death. You can see Matthew 26:35 for that. But of course, when the soldiers showed up to arrest Jesus, Peter gave a wobbly swing of the sword towards the soldiers, cutting off a poor soldier's ear. See John 18:10 for that. And then he ran off. He followed the soldiers with Jesus in tow to Annas' house, but he denied Jesus three times while trying to stand inconspicuously in the courtyard. Upon that third denial, Peter left the courthouse and wept bitterly. See Luke 22:62 for that. In John 21, we see Jesus restore Peter. Now here we are in the book of Acts, and Peter is a force to be reckoned with. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stands up and gives a convicting public sermon at Pentecost. As a result of his boldness, thousands give their lives to Christ that day. Next, we see Peter, along with John, heal a man who was born lame. The man was asking for money, and Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. What a change Jesus can make in the life of someone who is willing to follow him, even if imperfectly.
Chapter 4. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power, or in whose name, have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as the men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there in front of them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. "What should we do with these men?" they asked each other. "We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. "O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, 'Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah.' In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch
Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles.
Here in Acts chapter 4, we see that as a result of the healing from chapter 3, Peter immediately recognizes that he has an impromptu audience right there at Solomon's portico. So he once again boldly proclaims the gospel. This is a very different Peter than the one we saw in Annas' courtyard. Thousands of people put their faith in Christ as Peter is speaking. This, of course, upsets the religious leaders of the day, so they arrested Peter and John. After being questioned and threatened by the council, Peter and John are ultimately told to no longer speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. You think they do that? Acts 4:19 through 20 say, "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" What boldness. I love it. I hope that this study through the Gospels and through a couple of chapters in the book of Acts has increased your boldness. We live in a world who needs to hear this simple gospel message, that God created us to be with Him, that our sins separate us from God, and that those sins cannot be removed by good deeds. So paying the price for sins, Jesus died and rose again. And everyone who trusts in Him alone can have eternal life. And that life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. God truly has done great things in my life. I trust that He has done great things in your life. And it's time for us to get the word out to others because He wants to do great things in their lives as well. To wrap up this podcast and to wrap up 5K May 2020, here's my latest single called "Great Things You Have Done."
I don't know how long I will travel, taking these trips around the sun, but I know as long as I am able, I will make the best of each one. And each day you wake me up is a day I'll lift you up. his heart will love you every day, because your blood